Take a trip with us to learn about some of your neighbors with this edition of KXCR Conversations. These are neighbors just like you and me, and how their lives are filled with history. KXCR Conversations with you.
Hello and welcome to another exciting KXCR Conversations. I'm your host, Larry Bloomfield. Today we have another wonderful call-in guest. His name is Mark Baker, and he is calling in from softlights.org. He's going to talk to us a little bit about something interesting, light pollution. Who would know that light can actually be polluting at one point? So, Mark, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Larry. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, very good. Well, it's very nice to talk to you. I always enjoy conversating with people about all different types of things. And here you have a topic that's of really interest to me, and that is lighting. All my life, I've always been dazzled by lights and twinkle lights and all those different kind of lightings, whether it's bright, light, or colored, or whatever it is. All that adds up to something to everybody. And you're going to give us a little bit of information on light pollution, on how that can actually be overwhelming to the eyes and all that. I'm really interested in this topic. So, Mark, give us a little bit about yourself, maybe, get started, and let us know something about you, and then we'll get into the topic.
All right. Yeah, so light pollution is kind of a new topic for me. I have a degree in electrical engineering, so I studied some light stuff and some physics through college. I became a software developer for many years, and then I switched to teaching seventh grade math. And I did that for about 10 years.
Oh.
Yeah, and so that's all really great, and I was not involved in the light pollution issue at all. What got me involved was the invention of the LED light.
Ah, okay.
LED lights have been around for a while. They were on our calculators back in the, 70s?
Yeah.
So those little red lights, pretty great. Little games that you could buy, et cetera. So great invention. Recently, there was a person, I don't know his name, he got a Nobel Prize for inventing an LED light that could be used like a white light. So I don't know the details on that, but it was something big. He got a Nobel Prize. And the amount of light you could get out of this light-emitting diode increased dramatically. And the issue is that the invention is mostly blue wavelength light. So if we look at this, what's called the spectral power distribution of this LED light, you'll see that there's a lot of blue, not very much cyan, a little bit of green, and then not very much red. This is really, really different than a regular light bulb, an incandescent light bulb, which had hardly any blue, and then it had a nice smooth curve up through the greens and yellows and into the reds. And actually, a lot of the light was not even visible light. It's heat, infrared and heat. So if we look at an incandescent bulb, it's not particularly efficient as far as emitting light, gives a lot of heat, but it has a really soft color.
Yes.
So LED lights, this new one, is not like that. Like for most of us, I think, it's a harsh light.
Yes.
You notice like in a parking lot or something like that, we often refer to these lights as the prison yard lights or the Walmart lights, Walmart parking lot lights. Yeah, there's this like coldness to it, harsh. And this is because of the blue wavelength part of the spectrum. It's not, when you look at it, it's not like just blue. It looks white, but they do that by adding a chemical phosphor on top of the LED. So this phosphor might be a yellow phosphor, and the yellow and the blue kind of cancel each other out, so it kind of looks like it's white. But really, the energy coming out of this thing is blue. And that happens to be exactly the color, the wavelength that affects our mental health. It affects our eyes, our circadian rhythms. It has so much effect on us. And so this has made such a big difference. And so the reason I really got into this is because these lights affect me mentally.
Oh, Oh, well, maybe you can give us a little bit of an idea on that, how that actually applies to you and how it's happening.
Yeah, it's kind of a rough story to even talk about. So I was teaching seventh grade math.
Mm-hmm.
This is about 4 years ago. And I would go to work, and I started noticing that car headlights. Now, I was living in Sunnyvale, California at the time.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people getting their new cars there. It's a wealthy area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kept getting their new cars, and each new car that would come out would have these LED headlights.
Yeah.
And I found them so distracting during the daytime with the daytime running lights.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes, my brain would be drawn like a moth towards these lights. And I found it hard to drive. It was agitating. They sort of looked evil to me.
Mm-hmm.
At nighttime, it was just like, oh my gosh, these are terrible. I can't see the glare and just the emotional response I was having.
Mm-hmm.
So I was struggling through that. And then I would get to school and they had installed these security lights on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
What we talk about in this LED light world is called color temperature. This is not something I was familiar with until this LED light stuff came out.
Mm-hmm.
So color temperature is a way to get a single number for sort of describing the light, the spectral power distribution as a single number.
Yeah.
So if we think back to our measurements for Kelvin, Lord Kelvin, it was a measurement scale for temperature starting at absolute zero, mm-hmm. going on up, right?
Yes.
So if you heat up steel or iron or something like that, it starts to change color at really high temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at the steel and it starts to glow kind of a yellow color, maybe red, and then it gets hotter and it gets to like blue, and then we say white hot. It's like super hot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've mapped these colors that this steel emits to sort of describe the light.
Mm.
So if there's a lot of red,
mm-hmm.
then it would be a lower color temperature, like as low as, let's say, 1,000 Kelvin, maybe 1,500 Kelvin. If it's got some more orangish in it, it might be about 2,000 Kelvin. If it's got a little bit more yellow in it, maybe 2,500, 2,700 Kelvin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start getting into the, so I stopped at 2,700 because that's about where the limit for me is and a lot of us that kind of can't tolerate these lights.
Okay.
So this 2,700 Kelvin is sort of our maximum mental limit. After that, the amount of blue is just getting to be too much. So what I find for myself is at 3,000 Kelvin, I'm like kind of headache a bit, like kind of annoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
By 4,000 Kelvin, I'm getting kind of agitated and like, I don't like this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm not everybody reacts this way, but by 5,000 Kelvin, the really sort of deep blue ones, I might be yelling, screaming, swearing.
Hmm.
It's just overwhelms my senses, overload.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And so the car headlights are at like 5,500 Kelvin, 6,000 Kelvin.
Wow.
So unbelievable, right? So
yeah.
When I'm driving, it's a total like fight. Like I'm looking in different directions. Maybe I'll have my partner drive for me.
Yeah.
I just don't go out at night. Yeah. It's a really awful thing.
It's interesting that you mentioned this. And so that our listeners are a little bit more aware of the circumstances at hand is that our human nature that we have lived on this earth for whoever, however many years you want to look at it, thousands of years or whatnot, and our bodies have become very much adapted to the world that we live on, which is very much influenced by our sun, and our sun has a very particular color to it. And that is a color that our bodies and minds have very much comfortably adapted to over the years. And because of our technology and all the abilities that we have, and when you're rolling out new things, of course you're going to find out stuff like, oh, hey, maybe here's this new device we have, which is an LED, and over the years we're experimenting to make the different colors that it can manage out of it better or whatnot. And then eventually at one point, we start to develop things like brighter availabilities of this type of light. And in order to create those colors, sometimes we add other things into it, like you're saying, blue lighting, which is really not part of our sun. And so it affects the human psyche, mind, body, and everything in different ways to different people. In your case, the intense amount of lighting has obviously affected you, and it causes your discomfort. I know myself, I do have a similar aspect in the sense that it is disturbing. I don't really get mad at it, but it does bother me quite a bit because of that intensity in a spectrum that really doesn't allow me to see much better. I actually feel that I'm seeing better in the warmer temperature of the yellow and orange red colors than I do more in the blue, and that's myself. But I fully understand where you're going with this and how, you know, now that we are inventing new things, we have to obviously be in the understanding of the psyche of the human being. And because we have so many variations of human beings, we need to be able to be very accommodable to that very wide spectrum of humanity to be able to manage something like that. So definitely these lights can be a value at times where maybe at certain parts of the day where we may get a little bit more need for blue lighting can be done. I've heard that it actually assists in helping you in the middle of the day maybe a little bit, but very much towards the ending part of a day, it can actually be very disrupting to sleep patterns or circadian rhythms that you were mentioning. It will wind up keeping you in a position to want to stay awake. So if you're watching the old boob tube, so to speak, and it's blowing out that blue resonance in the background, you're probably getting a lot of, hey, I'm wide awake attitude from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this is something, I mean, it's been known for a while, that the fact that we can now put these out into our environment has really changed things.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, at nighttime, your body is expecting there to be no blue wavelength light, maybe from the starlight. And, you know, we are actually tied to the moonlight as well. The sun's rays will hit the moon, and let's say it's full moon. The color temperature coming off the full moon will be measured at about 4,000 Kelvin, that sort of a white color. So some people will make a mistake and say, oh, well, it's these new LED lights are just like the moon. But let's look at it closely. The moon is very far away. So by the time the light hits us, there's only what's called well, measured in lux, the illuminance. The illuminance is only about 0.1 lux. It's not a very big number. So there's not a lot of light coming to us. Whereas an LED street light, say, or a car headlight, those are only a few 10, 20, 30 feet away from you. And the intensity is so much greater. Plus, if you have a street light every half block or something, it's like you've got all these mini moons in your eye. This is like not at all what our biology wants. Our biology wants it to be dark. If it's full moonlight, we're going to be a little bit more agitated, a little bit more awake. So in general, we need it to be really dark at nighttime, which what happens is our melatonin hormone increases when the darkness comes. This melatonin is really important for how we behave. So it'll wake us up if we have low levels. We'll go to sleep or feel sleepy when we have high levels of melatonin. It's going to control, you know, how when we are hungry, our activity levels. It's really important. And if we disturb that, what the scientists have discovered is that we're getting cancer. So that's one thing. So just this week, a new study came out saying that because of artificial light, the risk of thyroid cancer has increased by 55%.
Wow.
Right. So if you're in the rural area and you've got no streetlights, then you've got a certain risk level for thyroid cancer. If you go closer into the city where there's more of this artificial light pollution, you've increased your risk of thyroid cancer by 55%. In addition, you've increased your risk of breast cancer by about that same amount. You've increased your risk of prostate cancer by about that same amount. If you've got teenagers in your house, their risk of developing bipolar disorder because of artificial light pollution has greatly increased. I don't know the exact percent, but it's a significant. Mm-hmm. So imagine that your children are developing their minds and growing, and they're having to deal with all this light pollution, and our kids are now at greater risk of developing a very serious bipolar disorder, plus other disorders such as anxiety disorders. And I can tell you from personal experience, you know, these lights have just are overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So what I've learned is that it's not just a, oh, well, these lights bother me kind of thing. It's a serious health risk. Mm-hmm. And what we need to do is educate our health departments, our public health departments, and at all levels that light pollution is something we need to address, you know, across the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've done actually stories here at the station with many different people in regards to lighting and how it can actually make a difference and all. They have come to a conclusion that lighting can make the difference of, as we have spoken about, sleep abilities and all that. Even when you pick up your phone, you have the ability in your settings to turn the blue lighting down so it's not blowing you away as much. And it's quite interesting because when I did that to my phone, I was really surprised at the color shift of everything on it. But it's amazing how much blue is intensely into everything. I think if you were to look at blue as a general color on the face of this earth, there is very, very little things that are actually blue. Most things that are blue are reflecting blue look towards you. Most stuff doesn't actually have the pigment in it. I think that there's like only two or three things in the world that actually produce a blue color, which is really unique in that information itself.
Well, I didn't know that. That is interesting. This light stuff is all about the concept of reflectivity. Mm-hmm. So, as you mentioned a while ago, our whole biological system has grown with the sun and the moon and the stars. Mm-hmm. And so, at the very, very cellular level, we're triggered by the light. So the sun comes up, and there is actually blue wavelength light in the sun, but it's at the same energy level as the cyans and the greens and the yellows, the oranges, the reds. They're all more or less the same. Mm-hmm. And so it's a sort of a flat at the top, whereas these LED lights have this huge spike of blue and then almost no cyan and then some green and red. But the other thing is that that's at noon. You know, if you've got a lot of blue at noon, it's telling you to be awake. Your cells in your eyes and your body are telling you to do stuff, to be active. Mm-hmm. And then as the sun sets, it starts to shift to red, right?
Yes.
So we see a beautiful sunset, and then it's telling our bodies, hey, it's time to quiet down and calm down and get ready to go to sleep. So if we take and put blue wavelength light into our nighttime, our brains are saying, wait a second, I don't know what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And Apple has figured this out. They've added this settings in their iPhone that this blue light is keeping the kids awake. Mm-hmm. Right in the last couple of years when I was teaching seventh grade math, there were far more anxiety disorders that I was seeing in our kids. I had several kids ending up in a hospital. So they would be in my class one day, and the next day they're not there, and I would find out that they ended up in the hospital. I attributed it mostly to stuff on Facebook, but now that I've, all the scrolling and stuff. But now I've also realized there's another component. It's the blue wavelength light that is agitating them. It's disrupting their sleep, and it's causing these emotional disturbances.
Yeah.
And so Apple has figured this out. Microsoft on the PCs, there's settings you can do as well. Mm-hmm. But who hasn't figured it out, unfortunately, are the governments, and the people doing the lighting and stuff. We're trying to educate them. That's our job.
Yeah.
And so, especially here in Florence, we're already looking forward to working with the city of Florence to try and get this stuff under control. As a smaller town, we feel that we can do something good here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about this education process. Hey, these lights, we're just, artificial light's only been around for, 150 years?
Yeah.
So it's really dramatically changed the entire ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing, too, because the LED in itself has gone through enormous amounts of changes, because when it first came out, as you had very first mentioned, you saw those little red dots on the as LED watches came out, or the video games or whatnot that you'd play on the little machines or whatever. But as time came up, they were able to start to add more variations to it. It's not an easy process because it's not the same as an incandescent light where you're having actual energy flowing through a piece of tungsten, I believe it is, metal, and that glows, as you said, a white light, but it also has a very warm feeling to it because it's actually glowing through those color ranges that we're very familiar with in our human state. So in that sense, it's you know, it doesn't seem to be too big of a deal, but with this very unique device, LED, also, you know, we're not really mentioning too much about it because we've kind of made a jump, but there was the fluorescent lighting that really took place for a great deal of years, and those were really nice bulbs. They were able to work better than incandescent as far as being able to save a little bit on energy and all, and everyone wants to save a few dollars, but all of a sudden you recognize they were coming out in different various colors, like warm or hot or cool lighting, and all these different various lighting, whether it was blue, white, or a hue of orange or yellow, those colors all make a huge difference in the workforce feelings and the way you do your actual work, which is an interesting factor.
Absolutely. So I've learned that about 20% of the population has a sensitivity, maybe to light. But we call these people sensitive receptors is one way to group them. I'm in that group. But it can include everybody with ranging from mine's called mild autism. That means I'm sensitive to light. I'm good at recognizing it. I can detect things that other people can't detect, but I get overwhelmed when it's too much. It just blows my mind, right? But there's other people with PTSD, they're going to be affected by this light. The LED strobe lights, which we haven't talked about yet, but that's a new thing. That's horrible. People with migraine headaches will be triggered. I've got a one of our soft lights members right now is in bed because his neighbor had a one of these LED lights that he looked at, and it just crushed his head, and he now has spent the last 2 days in bed and with the shades drawn because he got a migraine from that LED light.
Oh man!
And so we have to be aware of all our people that are sensitive.
Yeah, well, it's just like, you know, when you're walking down the street and you go off a curb, for the understanding and sensitivity of those who are using a wheelchair or a wheel-based unit, it's necessary in order to be able to have those curbs be able to manage for everybody so that it could roll up it and get in and out without having to be a problem. If you obviously were in a wheelchair and you come up to steps, you're going to have a little bit more of a difficulty. And of course, there's not everybody in our society is using wheelchairs, but there's enough of them that it's a necessity for us to be accommodating for them. And just like what you're saying, there could be a 20% or a fifth of our population who may be having problems with lighting issues. And it's really important for us to be understanding to all circumstances, because ultimately this is even affecting those who aren't having really great problems, just maybe a little bit.
Right. So everybody is going to be suffering the eye damage part. So the blue wavelength light is the most energetic. It happens to be exactly where that's the trigger for our circadian rhythms, but it happens to be the most damaging to our eye. So as the light comes into our eye, because it's so energetic, it'll bounce around kind of before settling on the back part of your eye to form an image. So what's happening is the carelessness, I guess, by putting it out, or should I say just kind of didn't realize what was going on, people install these lights, and then they're pointed right directly into our eye. So instead of helping us reflect the light off of something to see an object, we're now actually causing glare. Glare has been known about for decades, and we know it's not good for car headlights. And there used to be sort of regulations about it, but the regulations just all sort of got dropped or ignored when LEDs came out. And now we have this situation where lights from street lights or car headlights, this glare is can be really hard to deal with.
Yeah,
so
overwhelming.
They have two categories of it. I don't know if I agree with this, but they have what they call disability glare or discomfort glare. Mm-hmm. So some people might say, oh, well, yeah, I don't really like it. It's a little bit harder to see. Whereas disability glare would be like, my gosh, I can't see anything anymore.
Yeah.
There's just too much light in my eyes.
Wow. Well, it's definitely an issue, and it's something that we have to take into consideration for people like yourself who have hypersensitivity to it. But then even for your average person who may not be really being aware of the fact that it's affecting their sleep patterns and whatnot. So this is all very, very prudent information and all. We are speaking with Mark Baker here, and he is from softlights.org, and his whole idea here is all about light pollution and what we can do to hopefully maybe come up with better standards to accommodate all of us. Mark, is there any kind of way people can get a hold of you or anything like that if they wanted to further their knowledge on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So over the past 4 years, I've been developing our website. So it's www.softlights.org. And there you can find some introductory information, some examples of photos showing things. And then there's a long page of resources, which shows research studies categorized by, does light make us any safer? Does light affect our health? Does light affect the ecosystem, plants and animals out there, and a whole bunch of other things. And along with that is a contact page. You can go to our contact page and then send me a message. We are got contacts all around the world. We're helping governments in Ireland and England and New Zealand, Australia, and all kinds of cities across the United States. So we'd love to hear from you and get more people involved. We're also working with Congress on the headlights issue, so I'm really excited about that this year.
All right.
And so it's softlights.org. And if you want to join on Facebook, our Facebook group is Soft Lights.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for calling in today and giving us a little bit of a heads up on, well, blue lighting and the pollution that it creates. And, well, in general, just bringing a topic up that is a very interesting to note that, you know, there's something going on here and we don't even know about it because it's new.
Yeah. And, Larry, I really appreciate your giving me the opportunity to spread the word.
Excellent. Well, this has been a great conversation, and I thank you for calling in. I thank all my listeners for listening to KXCR Conversations. I'm your host again, Larry Bloomfield, and it's been wonderful speaking with you.
This has been KXCR Conversations with you, a regular feature here at KXCR. Having a conversation is easy. Call 997-5252. Email info@kxcr.net or visit us at the station across from the library. Our combined history makes our community. We all have the energy and power to do good things. Organizing and energizing ourselves is a great step in conversation. This is Community Radio, KXCR, Florence, 90.7.